Hello and welcome to another episode of We Have a Microphone. I'm Hampton.
I'm Michael.
And as always,
we have a microphone. We kept it this week. It wasn't stolen.
But Michael, is this like a Descartes? Like, is this all just a dream? Do we really have a microphone? Can I truly own this thing called a microphone?
I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah. So speaking of we have a microphone, we're going to a conference in a couple weeks, and they have like a seminar on how to do a podcast professionally. And I looked at it and I was like, yeah, no, I'm all right. No.
All you pretty much need is
a microphone. And then a couple cocktails and...
You're set, I think.
Be like just barely likable. I feel like...
Even that's a stretch at times.
There's a lot of podcasts where they don't even have that, really.
What do you mean, a lot of podcasts? We're one of them.
I can think of several podcasts where that's not even the first
step. It's not.
But they do have microphones. It's the number one...
These individuals that we are talking about do. And that's supremely
cool. Yeah.
Anyway.
So a twist on this week, I'm going to be making the cocktail.
Look at that. Look at that. Hampton's making the cocktail this week, and I'm very excited because I just get to sit here and do our recurring segment, What's the Deal With?
Well, and for anybody out there who actually knows me in real life or has gone out to bars with me, you will know the cocktail I'm making.
I know.
But for the rest of you, it'll be a surprise.
Apart from the fact that you can read it on the title of
it
the
episode. It does say, well... Michael, people don't read that.
Sorry, people don't read that stuff.
Don't go look at it.
Okay. So the top What's the Deal With, according to Twitter, is New York Times saying, What's the Deal With Comedy in China? I don't know. I don't feel like I know. That's really bad, but I don't know if I know any Chinese comedians.
You didn't see this article?
I didn't see this article. What's the Deal With Airline Food? That's a pretty good one. I like airline food. I feel like there are some pretty decent ones. Like, I feel like British Airways is pretty good. Air France is pretty good. They give you free bread and wine.
That's
pretty much the whole trip.
Yeah.
Which is pretty good.
Even in coach.
What's the deal with gamers and pizza? I don't know. I mean, I like that. I like pizza. What's the deal with everybody starting stuff? I don't know what that means. What's the deal with cishet couples? Okay, so cis and heterosexual couples on a lunch date, and the woman always ordering a salad, and the man always ordering not a salad. I don't get that, because I order salads a lot. But I guess I'm not a cishet couple? I don't know what that means, though.
You have so much color commentary about these jokes.
Yeah, I know. Me flirting. So what's the deal with having to exist as a physical entity? That's a good one.
Really?
Yeah, that's from a Twitter account called Dead Boyfriend. So I don't really know. That's pretty good. What's the deal with airline food again? Airline food seems to be... It's a classic joke. Really?
Yeah, it's one of the classic airline... what's the deal with?
So I don't mind airline food that much. I think it's gotten a lot better, and, you know, I feel like it's pretty good now. Why it's a joke? Is it on Seinfeld?
No, they made it better.
Oh, wait, there was the Heston thing.
Yeah, and they increased umami and salt.
Right. Because your taste buds. Yeah. Okay, so they did the study where it's like food tastes differently when you're at higher altitudes or, you know, have pressurized cabins or something. So you really need to up the salt level of the food you eat to make it taste good. And that is the deal with airline food. It usually doesn't taste good, because they make it on ground level and you taste it and you're like, oh, this is really well balanced. And then you go up to a higher altitude and it doesn't actually taste as balanced as you made it. What's the deal with everyone ignoring me? You're probably a horrible person. I don't know. Seriously, more airplane food. Maybe someone made this joke. What's the deal with cows and tortillas? I mean... Cows in tortillas are delicious. That's like the best combination, pretty much. All right.
I'm
okay, Hampton's back.
This is why you make the cocktails, and I do
that. Oh, that was... Okay, Everyone vote in. Vote Michael plus one for my what's the deal with is way better. And vote Hampton plus one for Hampton's what's the deal with is way better. Or suggest things that would make my bit better so I can like search for something on Twitter and then have a better comedy. Because I feel like what's the deal with is a very American Seinfeldy thing.
Yeah.
So you gotta follow that joke. So maybe I should look up like what's like British food is so. I should look up that on Twitter and then refute and get angry about everything that comes up.
So the cocktail I've made here is a Manhattan, Hampton style.
Cheers, Hampton style.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean?
It means a lot of bitters. I really like those. It's very those good. Bitter flavors.
It's very bitter. But I very much like it.
Yeah.
Thank you. A very, very good Manhattan.
So the trick is go ape shit with your Angostura bitters. Okay. Just like that until
keep on doing it.
Yeah.
Keep on doing it.
So what is the deal? Yeah, deal with airplane food.
I explained the science.
I
didn't explain it funnily enough, apparently.
No, so it's not funny. I just I eat more airplane food than I like to in my life. Okay, here's the airplane food that bothers me, though. It's not what they serve you. It's when that motherfucking asshole gets on next to you for, like, 11 a.m. flight, and you're slightly hungry, and they just decide to bring on, like, a whole fried chicken. And just, like, as you're taking off, they're just, like, eating delicious fucking smelling food right next to you.
They must be waiting at the gate.
Oh, yeah, with their hot, delicious, like, I got, like, a Philly cheesesteak, just like,
And then they...
You're like, you're like, I need to use the bathroom, and I can't right now for the next, like, 10 minutes.
I'd say that's only second to being sat next to a child, as, like, worst things you can be sat next to.
That is second.
Although, okay, so we were on a flight recently, and this guy had, like, a picnic in his back, and he had, like, a little, like... gingham napkin.
An older gentleman, late 60s.
He had like a whole thing of salmon that he brought out He cut up a tomato on like the foil shit that salmon comes on. Cut it up, like slurped up the tomato seeds. Yeah. It was kind of gross, but he had this whole fucking picnic, and I was a little bit jealous, but I was mostly grossed out.
So when I think about children on flights, I had this. The first time I ever went on a cruise to Alaska, which, you know, I'm a middle-aged white guy when I say the first time I ever went on a cruise to Alaska. But I was younger then, before I met you. And I went with my parents, and I was flying back to wherever the hell I was going after the trip. And I was with my parents on a flight from the West Coast to the East Coast. And I must have been, like, 21. And I was like, oh.
I guess it was a red eye.
No, it was a daytime flight, but I was really tired or something, and I don't know, or maybe, like, it was a 5-hour flight or something like that. My mom's like, oh, you know, try to get a couple hours sleep, it'll really help, and I was like, oh, it'd be amazing. And so she's like, let me give you a couple of my Ambien, and I'm like, thank you, American mom, because that's a thing that American mothers do.
Yep.
And so
I've seen Valley of the Dolls.
Yeah, exactly.
Irish, just like from.
That. Southern Baptist moms who mothers who give you an Ambien.
Right.
And so she gives me one, and then she goes, oh, but, you know, you're a bigger fellow, so
you're,
I need you
kind of heavy.
Sorry, in retrospect, I realize that that's a passive-aggressive thing to say, but I thought, I am 6 foot. Like, you're right, thank you.
Yep.
So she gave me two. And,
two Ambien.
Yeah, and it was a daytime flight, and so I'm sitting with my parents in, like, a three-seater, and I'm by the window, and I start to fall asleep. Ambien kicks in. It's awesome. And then, like, all of a sudden my head starts jostling. And this kid starts kicking me from behind, just like, just like, what the fuck? Like, and I keep waking up, and my dad's like, go back to sleep, Hampton. And he's trying to, like, glare at the kid, because he's still a protective dad. And so I'm like, keep waking up, and then all of a sudden, I'm just like, I look out the window, and the mountains are moving towards us.
Mm.
Like, not in a terrifying way.
Right, not
but
like
just
in
they're,
a,
like, dancing.
Not like in the Alps are moving towards you.
No,
that kind of way.
Like, they're dancing, and I was like, Dad. Dad, the mountains are dancing. And he's like, and my mom's like, what'd he say? It's like, Mom, I think the clouds are moving and the mountains are dancing. And then my mom gets a look on her face. And I was apparently high off my balls, because that's what happens with Ambien if you don't go to sleep. None of us were aware of that until I got high around my parents. Not just like booze high, but like I was tripping next to my mom,
and
who's a Southern Baptist.
Now she will not give you Ambien.
She will never give me Ambien anymore.
You off.
I have so many times. It's been a nighttime flight with them, and I'm like, "Hey, mom, I know you've got like her little pharmacy and a she's got the best stuff.
Yeah.
There's so much good stuff in there. Only she knows how to decrypt the pile of pills she has. This one time I tripped with my mom, and my mom's horror. I do feel bad for her because I could think as a parent if you're like. I made my kid trip.
Yeah.
I wasn't a little loopy. I was like, the mountains are dancing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And if I heard my kid say the mountains are dancing because of something I gave them, I don't blame her.
Well, to be honest. You were cut off pretty sharply.
Yeah, and it's never happened again, unfortunately.
I think the only time...
But now I got my own supply, so it's fine.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I moved back to
the U.S. Damn.
Well, the doctors are pretty free with their prescriptions.
They really are.
There you go.
So you got high with your mom? You about to say?
I got high before. I was hanging out with a friend. And then, so I didn't really know if weed is a thing, really, until I met Americans in university. So all my American friends, so you can drink at 18 in the UK. So you go to university and you get drunk. That's what you do. And so Americans, it feels like, okay, well, either we could do illegal alcohol drinking, or we could do illegal weed smoking. And all the Americans who we met at like 1920 are like, so where do you score some weed? And we're like, you can get drunk, right? You're old enough to get drunk. Like, it's not really a thing to get weed. Like, there's one or two kind of weird stoner guys who smoke. So all the Americans smoked or wanted to smoke weed. So that was how I knew it. Anyway, I was back home during the holidays, and one of the Americans was doing his grand tour of the UK on his like one semester in the UK, and he's like, "Hey, let's get high, man." And so, you know, we went out drinking, and then
is this one of the
It's one of the BU folks. So Boston University had a
what's that skull? Oh, they're not on that skull.
No, not on Rhodes.
Okay, Rhodes, I was hoping this would be a Rhodes skull.
It wasn't Bill doing his not inhaling.
Yeah,
no, this is
what didn't know.
Right, yeah,
yeah.
And so we were hanging out, and then he's like, "Hey, let's get high." And we went to this Parker's Piece, it's called. And
so I like your invitation. He said, "Hi, let's get high."
Well, yeah.
Hey, Michael, it's good to see you.
Let's get high.
I got
no.
Hey,
he was pretty New York, but his best friend was very California, and so.
And wait, if I know something about you, if you got convinced this quickly, he was fairly handsome.
No,
he wasn't.
Well,
you got convinced without
he would never listen, right? I mean, he was.
He would never listen?
He's not listening to
this. No, he's not listening
to this. Right, no. He was, a little bit redhead, a little bit of acne, like, you know.
I just know you don't typically get tucked into things unless it's either a lot of pressure.
It was definitely like he was pretty cool, you know.
Okay,
like,
all right.
He was just like, "Hey, let's go out for a drink." Like, he was, you know, all the Americans who came and visited from BU, like, did, like, a whole backpack thing around the UK and Europe. Mm-hmm. And so he was just like, "Hey, I'm coming through Cambridge. Let's hang out." And so, you know, I was, I'm such a cool guy. I'm just like, "Yeah, I know, I'll totally hang out with you." You know, I'm just so relaxed and, you know, laissez-faire. And so we hung out in the middle of this, you know, common in the UK. Wait, do you have the term common?
No.
Okay, so a common is
a
like...
park.
Yeah, but it's traditionally where cows can graze. That's like
a city park.
It's a right.
Just like grass.
Right.
It's
exactly.
Usually just a lot of grass.
But it's not like a park like Gramercy Park or like Union Square Park. It's like a common's more.
Wait, our park right here, the
Spree Park. Yeah,
Spree
yeah,
Park.
It's
just
like
grassy, open.
Or like Dolores Park would be a common more than like Union Square or something.
Right. Sure.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway, we like hung out in the middle, and it's kind of this weird, it's almost misty, and there's like one light post in the middle of it, and it's kind of creepy, and we got super high, and then my mom was coming to pick me up, so I'm like, kind of, you know, trying to arrange with her, like, "Hey, come and pick me up, I'm not drunk, really." Or no, maybe I was trying to pretend I was drunk, because I didn't want her to know I was high, and then, And then on the way home, I kept on pointing out cyclists. I was like, watch out, there's a cyclist. Watch out, there's a cyclist there, man.
Wait, this sounds like normal, you.
Well, I know that. If I was drunk, I wouldn't give a shit. But, like, I was just like, watch out, mom. And she's like, I know this cyclist there. I know this cyclist there, Michael. And then I got home, and to my dad, I was like, you know, I was trying to like, have a bonding moment with my father. you know, there's, well...
Is it Englishman that never goes
no,
well?
It never happens, but no. I was... You were trying. I was drunk and high. And yeah. So, and I was like, hey, dad, some of them were going to bed at this time. I was like, hey, dad, have you ever smoked? And he was like, well, this one time my brother had a cigarette and I took a drag and it definitely wasn't for me. And that was it. I've never done it again. I was like, oh yeah, that's totally what I meant, dad. Yeah. I was definitely talking about cigarettes. And then that was pretty much the end of the conversation.
Was it really?
Yeah, yeah.
Aww.
And so that was...
And then you were like, that was said, can you hug me for the first time?
No. No, I never said that.
That was way too fun. I love your family.
They're great. They're great.
They give out lots of hugs now. Really? And I, as the American, being introduced into the family, I have changed it so everybody has to say that they love each other now.
Yep.
That's it. You gotta say it.
If only I could say that I'd introduced your family to not talking about their feelings, but I haven't. I'm trying still.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, really? Do you want to say that?
Are we going there?
Are we going? No? Okay. We're doing it.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about politics now.
Okay.
Huh? Yeah?
Okay, that's happening.
Uh-huh.
There you go.
So, did your mother love you?
I'm still...
Yeah, we're gonna... Still, all right, yeah. Still it's nice to meet you.
Still working on stopping that. So
I don't know where to go from there.
No, I mean that's pretty deep. Already 16 minutes in. Notice I didn't confuse minutes and megabytes this time. So I'm feeling, but it is 269 megabytes.
We have to. Yeah, no, we got a whole other topic we got to hit.
Oh, working together.
Sure, let's go there.
Okay.
Well, that was before we get on.
But
that was
a smooth segue. Did you not notice that? That was...
Hashtag smooth segue.
That's the... I think Mike Ferrier once coined that as the Linton segue.
Yeah.
I'm going to claim it.
Well, no, because, you know, before we do any things, we're like, we do spend at least 2 minutes being like, are we too drunk?
2 minutes?
Are we too drunk to start doing this episode?
Right.
Maybe. Maybe. Well, that's the magic moment to do this. Like,
right.
This is not us at our most brilliant. This is us at our most...
all our listeners know us at our most brilliant. And I feel like there's a lot of humility that comes from...
Yeah.
Yeah. Often people text or message us and like, oh, I can't believe you said this. And I'm like, I do not remember saying that. I feel like I need to re-listen to this and get some of those kernels of truth
from yourself that we're
spouting right now.
No, but one of the things we were talking about, we could talk about,
right? We did the Linton segue.
Was us working together, which for our new listeners, we are both co-founders and kind of co-workers, and we're butt buddies.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's great. Is that on our LinkedIn? Have you endorsed me yet for that? I don't think so.
Best butt buddy ever.
That was a high five.
It's a high five. Yeah, they can hear it.
Yeah. No, it was...
For the British people
who
don't...
That could
have
been like a butt-to-butt thing. So we work together.
That is, we're married. That's
what I mean. Right.
I like to ruin the sanctity of...
Of marriage.
Of our hard-earned marriage rights.
We're eroding away those hard-earned Christian rights
With a good joke
about
butt buddies.
Yep. So we work together, we live together, we have desks about 10 feet apart, if that.
That's not even 10 feet.
No.
And then we also do... The TV just unmuted itself.
Right.
Could work, TiVo.
I just muted that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's weird because a lot of people...
We do a podcast together. Just because we don't spend enough time.
A lot of people don't understand or don't feel like they can do it with their partner.
Yeah.
Or,
a lot.
Yeah, and it's weird for me to hear that because I feel like when you're choosing someone to marry... But, I'm like,
well, I want to spend the rest of my life with you, and that includes, like, hanging out with you all the time, and experiencing things is, you know, something that I get mad at if I don't get to do it.
I know, right?
Like, I think, like, the times we spend apart, I'm like, you know, what can I watch on TV now that Hampton's away? And it's like, I start watching something on, you know, TCM or some, like, old horror movie. I'm like, no, Hampton loved this. Like, I have to stop. And then it's like, there's, you know, it's kind of dull.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people would be like, that's codependency. Right. And maybe it is, and I don't know. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I don't even... It's weird. It's not that I can't enjoy things without you. It's that if I'm watching a movie and I really like it, I'm just like, but I want to talk to you about it. Like,
right.
Or
I want to show you the movie as well.
Yeah, or I'm immediately like, oh my gosh, right. We have to watch this. It's funny. So I think when we first met, I had a very high expectations. I'd been single for like 4 years. I was almost 30. And I was kind of in a place where I was like, you know what? Like, I wasn't desperately looking. I think when I was a bit younger, I was kind of more like dating, quote unquote. But I was just like, you know what? Like, I'm going to look for something exceptional. And I might be 50 before I meet that person. And then, you know, I started looking across the world. And then I met you. And then I was like, yes. I'll check. The same stuff. Like, we have the same interests. We have the same... Well, not the exact same, but we have a very similar worldview.
Yeah.
And, like, are close enough to be able to, like, be different and together. And, like, I mean, we're very different people, but... And I was like, it's so funny that you know that they always say, like, when you didn't think you'd end up with anybody is when you do? And I don't think that's... It's not universally true. It's more by happenstance, I think, than it happens. Like... Because when people say that is when they're really comfortable to look for something great. Like, you're not...
You know, desperate? Or, like, you know,
you're not
like,
just like, oh, you speak English and wouldn't embarrass me in front of your mom. Not that speaking English is the only thing.
Right.
Sorry, I realized that was actually pretty insensitive. Yeah, yeah.
Or embarrassing me in front of my mom, which you do a lot. I mean...
I hope I do it targetedly. You get embarrassed about everything.
I do.
Well, I know that, so part of our relationship is that, like, you're smarter than me, and you're more circumspect than me, and, like, you're more cautious than me, which I actually think, on the whole, I'm a pretty cautious person.
Mm.
But, like, you know, definitely my role in our relationship is to be the
wild card. It's funny how relative all that stuff is.
Yeah,
you know the adage that, you know, someone who's... You know, an alcoholic is someone who drinks more than you or whatever, and, like...
I don't know any of those.
No, me neither. So I guess there's no alcoholics?
No,
I guess
not, yeah.
No. It's hearing him to say, oh, I'm really cautious, or, oh, I think things through and I'm not rash. And so for me, who's super cautious and, you know... very careful about everything. I'm just like, no, Hampton's the most wild, kind of crazy person who doesn't think through decisions. And, like, I understand that compared with most people, you do, but...
I don't know. I guess I don't understand most people, but maybe. I mean, I don't need to. I'm just me. Yep. But, like, I'll do things like, you know, I've made a lot of rash moves in my life. Sorry, like, ones that from the outside you're like, whoa! Like, I mean, I moved to the UK to be with you, like, but then, you know, before I moved to the UK to be with you, I had a list of 100 things I was looking for.
Yeah.
It was my dream guy list, and you hit 98 of them.
Yeah.
You probably mentioned this, yeah.
Yeah.
If we haven't, tweet at us and we'll talk more. But, like, we met so many of them, and then we hung out, and you came and lived with me for, like, 2 months during your break, and then, like...
Yeah, yeah.
No, and I was just like, check. Like, this is, like, and to me, that it doesn't actually feel rash to have moved to the UK for that. Because it wasn't like I had an insanely detailed list of things I knew I wanted in my dream guy, and you hit, like, so many of that. Like, it would almost be, like, stupid not to have. Like, it's like winning the lotto and being like, I don't know if I'm going to turn it in or something. Like, it didn't seem like an irrational...
Yeah.
Decision. It wasn't like I met you online, we sent a couple text messages, and I didn't have enough data, or we hadn't talked enough to understand what I was getting into, and, like, I knew the risks. Like, you know, I think I was, I don't know. I mean, so after we lived together for like three, or we were kind of like, you were on break from school and we kind of like pieced together time together.
Yeah.
I mean, at the beginning it was definitely risky or riskier. Yeah. And then the more time we spent together, I was like, yeah, okay. I'll go wherever this guy wants me to go.
Right.
And 6 years later, I absolutely was right. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, yeah, it's about, 6 years, six years together. Coming up on a second year of marriage soonish.
Yeah.
About a month, I'll say.
Well, American marriage.
American marriage.
We have a whole
super. I have a blog post about that.
And check out the blog because you got all the details of our weird legal stance.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I feel like we've said this a lot to our friends and stuff. Like, some of the biggest problems we had in the first 3 years of our marriage were solved by working together.
Yeah.
Ironically.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, because I can deal with you and I can deal with us working together better than I can deal with you working with other people and either one of us not having a say or, like, you had a bad day and explaining it would take forever, why, and, like, something was a great day at work and you can barely explain why. Like, I think...
So we were working in different fields back then. So
yeah, when we first met, yeah.
So, like, at the time, I think also it came from... Hampton was working at home in tech in Cambridge in the UK. And I was working in a biology lab. And my hours were pretty erratic. And Hampton was also working for a West Coast company a lot of the time.
I moved countries and then worked for...
American
company. Like,
very lonely. In a foreign country and Hampton's at home all day. And then I'm like, okay, I need to stay till 7, 8, 9 tonight, just to, you know, do some stuff. And Hampton's like, well, you know, I've been working for, you know, hours already.
Yeah, and it's the classic, I made dinner, when should I put it in? Right. And you're like, I'll be another hour. And I'm like, okay, well, I'll just fucking sit here for another hour stare at, my feet. Like, no, it's like, I'd so much rather be there late with you. Or like... sharing in the good and the I just feel like it's harder to disjoint. And I think, you know, I mean, obviously the tough angle there is claiming independent value. I mean, I think that's the thing that we have to spend a lot of time together. Like, I don't think the problem is that we quote unquote get on each other's nerves. Like, I mean, that's like step one. Can you just quote unquote not get on somebody's nerves?
Right.
But I think the harder part with working together is just trying to we're currently working more in tech. And, what I have more experience in that. Mm. And that's kind of my, home place, for an industry. And, you know, I feel like the fact you're relatively newish compared to
my career. Definitely.
And it's like, you know, how do you make that a real shared experience? Because it can be you're along for the ride kind of thing.
Right. No, it definitely. And I definitely feel like there's obviously you have 7-8 years on top of me in tech, and there is an idea of, you know, I'm never going to be able to in tech reach, you know, where you are.
I was making the
seesaw face.
Well, there's a long time.
No, it is. And
it seems like that now. I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Like, I married you because you are freaking brilliant and a nice person and all sorts of things. I
feel like I'm trying to work towards that, and I make the joke that at SAS conferences, you know, I'm Jackie O, but I need to be Hillary Clinton or something. I don't know, come into my own. No, I think I'm getting better at that, and definitely, but that's something I've struggled with working together.
Yeah.
I feel like the other thing is also, that's more of a working at home thing, is separating, okay, I'm working now. Okay, now I'm not working, and I'm in the same space, and my couch is still right there, and just, you know, moving 5 foot to go sit on the couch isn't quite the same.
It's funny, that doesn't bug me at all.
Oh, really? I feel like I can't just go and sit on the couch after doing something intensive or an intensive day of programming.
So what do you do instead?
We go to the bar. it's true. Our favorite bar. And yeah, and so I feel like that's different. And also the separation of like, you know, discussing stuff in, you know, like a tough way, like, you know, whatever.
I mean, it's my super ADHD that I just, I'm easy, like, I'm totally fine.
You can switch focus very quickly. Yeah
it I doesn't, do it doesn't. I can't do that. Because I'll just randomly be like, hey, what about this business thing? And then I'll just then, randomly
sorry, talk about okay, something. Okay, so this is the other thing, and I'm definitely bad with this, and I'm trying to get better, but it's interrupting each other when we're in the middle of programming. And like, so it's like, I'll have an idea, or I'll need help, and I'll just say, hey, Hampton, how do you do blah, 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 and he's like, holy shit, calm the fuck down. I need a second. Okay, explain your problem again, and blah, blah, blah. And I feel like, you know, you do that sometimes as well. It's like, oh, I just had this great idea, like, let's draw it up, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, just give me a fucking second. Like, I'm just in the middle of doing some CSS. Okay. Okay, now, okay, I'm there. And then it takes, you know, a second to get back in for me. And so that's the only other thing. But then that happens in normal workspaces as yeah, well. Yeah, and that's like, a toy. That's just... But then it's also like...
So I'm way less mad at you about it than other people.
It's true.
It's just when there's a torrent of words and I've like just been on a different problem and you're like... I'm like, whoa, hold on. I say it all again because I pretty much missed every single word you just said.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But fun. I mean, aside from all that, I feel like we have pretty compatible skill sets. And what's the word for like when things mash together? Complementary skill sets.
Or damn it, we'll just make them complementary if we have to.
That's true.
No, because there's a bit of like, you know, like, I do more of the finance stuff for a company, and I take care of, like, the sales calls and stuff like that, and, like, I wouldn't say that's a thing I love. And, like, you do the, like, front-end design work, which you're good at and you have a lot of experience with, but that's not, like, or I feel like that's not your, like, oh, this is the thing that gives me meaning in life. Like, no, it's not that... We're, like, working to an ends together, and we're going to kind of split up the things that are... Because, yeah, like, my call days, as I call when I'm on the phone for a whole day, basically.
So, you basically schedule, like, a whole day of calls.
Yeah, like, if I need to... I mean, it's not that bad anymore. I mean, in my last, you know, job with a bigger team and stuff, there was a lot more time doing that. But, like, now it's kind of every other week, and it's, like, a full day, and it's just, like... You know, I mean, it's talking to... an engineer from here, someone wants some advice, like, it's just, it's like a, it just kind of melts your brain. Like, you're not creatively useful for the day.
That's true.
And then, you know, the other thing that we hit, or I hit, is the number of, do you want to get coffee emails?
Yeah. I don't get those.
Well, keep working hard and you'll...
No, I got my first recruiter email the other day, and I was very excited.
BS.
No, I know. And so I hear, like, so there's this
whole... Do you have your email on your GitHub page?
I don't know. I just send it out to anyone. I'm just like, I tweet out every now and again. Hashtag leadership, hashtag front end, hashtag JavaScript.
Oh, you should use thought leadership.
Thought leadership.
And then hashtag ninja dev.
Pirate. No, pirate is something different. Sorry, I got my, and so I read a lot of tweets from people who are like, oh, you know, oh, I get so many recruiter emails, it's so annoying, I'm gonna respond to them evilly.
Oh, and you're like,
and I feel like this is a thing, like, you're so fucking privileged, you get emails from recruiters saying, please work for us, like, stop fucking complaining about that shit.
That's not what they're saying.
Right, I know that's not exactly what they're saying, but it comes across that way. So I got my first recruiter email and I was so happy.
And then, flash forward 3 months from now and you're going to be like, turn this shit
No, up. I'm going to appreciate everyone much like I appreciate every Viagra email I get and enlargement of my penis email. I say thank you to each and every one. And I will continue.
But you probably show your email on your GitHub page is probably the issue here, because they just crawl it.
I don't know if I have my email on my GitHub page.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying that's the...
My username is the same as my email. So. If anyone wants to email me with job offers, I'll send it polite, but...
No, wait.
if you need contract work, oh, we're right, happy to do that. Yeah. Carmichael, sales.
Sales. I'm selling myself right now.
Recruiter emails are funny. Yeah, no. Mostly they're just bots, just trolling. When I had a recruiter working for me at my last job, I mean, it was so embarrassing to see what they were sending out. And they would work hard at not, like, they really felt like they weren't. Like,
right.
Help me come up with the right lingo and help me, get a good list. And then, you know, I mean, it is spam because you were just getting these lists of developers.
I have to do a similar thing. And it's like you're trying your best and there's obviously a need there to...
Well, I mean, I guess for
you
me...
You want to hire people.
For my level of privilege in the industry, like, if you don't mention anything I've done in the email, I'm not going to take the time to respond because you didn't even have time to look up who I am. Right. Like, and I do respond to people look it up. Like, I've never purposely ignored a recruiter email where they actually, like, even said the name of a stupid company I'd worked at before. Yeah. Well... The funny thing is, you know, it's a bot when it says things like, so last company we were at was MoveWeb, and it's like, they would do MoveCorp, which is like, not the trade name at all,
right.
And it's just what like, the LinkedIn official name is, so I'm like, oh, okay, you actually have no clue just what,
trolled.
Yeah, like, you don't care, no, it's just saying you don't care about me, and that's fine, no issue, but I don't care about you, and that's great. Yeah. So there was a... The first magazine cover I was ever on.
Ooh!
In that.
Wait, which?
It's a way to start.
This Attitude? No? Is it Gay Times? No?
I have yet to land one of those, but I'd be up for it. It's interesting. Take my shirt off. It's cool. And you'll all be very unimpressed. Lighting that, right? Photoshop.
Yeah, it's cool. And oil.
So. It was a shitty Ruby magazine years ago. No, I don't mean shitty. It was lovely Ruby.
It was your first magazine cover.
It was, yeah. And I can't remember. The Rubyist or something like that. It was like a tech magazine they were launching. And it was the inaugural issue. And it was me wearing a t-shirt I had printed. Michael's turning his laptop so that he can look this up. I'm
subtly going to try and look this up. Hampton.
Well, okay, so the thing to look up is...
Catlin.
Yeah, you gotta be careful Googling
it. T-shirt Ruby. Maybe.
No.
Let's look at all these photos that come up.
No.
Who's Andrew Buck?
It might be that one.
No, that's not you.
No, that's not you. Look up Pradeepta's Rolodex.
Okay. No, you still... Oh, did you throw it out?
Pradeepta's Rolodex.
Rolodex. What is Rolodex? Wow, there are not that many. Nothing. There are a bunch
Remove
of
the name.
Diagrams.
Anyhow.
Oh, just Pradeepta.
So, this really awkward, this is like 2008, and this really awkward mass email went out from a recruiter named Pradeepta. And the email was, this was like early days for recruiter stuff, by the way. Sorry, I don't think we were used to getting recruiter spam. And it was to you, and it was like, I love everything you've ever done. You're the best Rubyist out there. I'd love to work with you. Wait, that first one's probably related to it, by the way. We get this email. And then the best part, it's to you. And like 300 other people were listed in the two. So the recruiter was unaware of the idea of BCC or splitting up who they were emailing. So then all these people start reply to alling and being like, hey, Pradeepta, or like, hello, everyone. Like, so this whole chat room started of people responding to Pradeepta. And it went out of Pradeepta's hands pretty quickly. And so that week we were putting on it was the first conference I ever helped put on, and it was Ruby Fringe in Toronto years ago. And I am not Canadian, by the way. Please correct the internet on that, though I live there. Mm-hmm. So it was a ton of shit. So Google Pradeepta's Rolodex. And so I got a t-shirt, or we did a thing called like fail camp, where we all went up and talked about our biggest failures in our career. And so I got a t-shirt printed that said, yeah, Adeep does Rolodex. And like a third of the room thought it was the funniest thing that's ever happened, because they were, it was a fairly small community then. So it was a lot of people. I mean, it was a high percentage of.
I was going to say, this isn't like 2007, 2008.
It was like pretty early. Yeah. These days it'd be like tens of thousands. But everybody at this conference, and it was like our punk rock conference. And so I love that t-shirt. Anyhow, it got me on the cover of a magazine.
There you go.
So, Pradeep does Rolodex. There you go. Only if you listen to the end of this episode, you can find out about
a Pradeep. Free drink from Hampton. Come up to him and whisper in his ear, much like you could say Hail Hydra, say Pradeep does Rolodex.
Okay, I'll make that statement. I will buy a free drink for anyone who brings up Pradeep does Rolodex and then reminds me that I made this promise.
Yeah.
And it's one per person.
Whatever the fuck this is.
One per person. So, David Klein, you can only use this one once.
I was actually thinking about talking about Red Nose Day as well, which is this weird thing in the UK that recently happened in the US, and I was very excited.
Mm.
I don't know if anyone watched it. It was on NBC. And so Red Nose Day is this charity event. It's biannually? What's the, like, once every other year?
Was it really? I thought it was every year.
No. It's once every
other year. Sure.
So Red Nose Day, once every other year. It's basically a bunch of comedians and funny people get together and do skits and do, like, the equivalent of Breaking Bad might do a small skit on something. And it's basically like if SNL only happened once every 2 years, and just the kind of the, like, putting in any good skits they had into once every 2 years. So it's basically pretty good. And they just launched it in the US, and it was pretty funny, I thought. It was about as hit and miss as a telethon can get. Basically, you're donating money to, like, children's charities often. You buy, like, a red nose, like a mm-hmm. weird clown nose thing. I remember growing up, it was a big deal. You often had the day off school to do charity events and things like that, and,
So I know it must be biannually because it was an even number of years ago that we first met, because when I first came out to visit you, there was a subway at the, what was the interchange between Heathrow and Oxford by a train?
Reading somewhere?
Yeah, it was Reading. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Reading. Yeah. It was the Reading train station, and I was going to meet this strange guy, and I was way underslept. You're not strange, but I didn't know who I was going to meet, and I was way underslept. And then he's like, just take a train to Oxford from the airport.
Yeah.
I didn't know how far that was. And I get out of the train, and I'm like in this weird blurry thing. And I remember turning my head, and like, there was a subway, and in the, food chain.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a big giant poster of Doctor Who with the scarves. What's his name?
Oh, Baker. Tom Baker.
Tom Baker, giant size, with this scarf, looking much older than I'd ever seen him.
Yeah.
With a red nose on, and it was like Red Nose Day.
Yeah.
And I was like, red nose, so alcoholism?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, is Tom That's Baker trying to... Like, it was really weird, because I was like...
Yeah.
There was no markers about what this day was. This has been going on for
years in the UK. And it's like...
And nobody has stopped it.
No.
It just got off
so
for years.
So it's like every March, or every other March, and donate to charity. It's pretty fun. And like this year they had the Game of Thrones folks did a musical with Coldplay, which was, I thought, pretty hilarious. There were a couple of other funny bits. Jack Black went to Africa and
cried a lot
in a very, I believe, disingenuous
way. Giants game.
I don't know if you hear the fireworks, right? There you go.
It is though.
Yeah,
so we live near the Giants Stadium, so there's a giant fireworks.
No, it's a bad time. Anyway. Yesterday was the early game.
Yeah, sorry.
So, Red Nose Day.
Sorry, if you live in this neighborhood, you have to know the giant schedule just by letting your life exist.
To get the train or the tea or the muni.
You're just like, oh, what time is Giants game today this season?
I need to...
It blocks up the whole street. But whatever.
Anyway, so Red Nose Day is pretty awesome, and I'm glad they have it in the US now. I hope it happens again. Maybe not. I don't know. I want to see.
All I can find is that they raised $10 million, which I'm like, eh. It's like a $4 million of that was Bill Gates, so...
Right, yeah, right, right.
We gave money.
We gave money, yeah, it was good. Like, I feel like we it's a nice thing to do. I feel like charity in the UK isn't as widespread as in the US, so I don't know how much... Like, I feel like in the UK there's a lot of, you know, we pay higher taxes, or, well, I mean, that's actually, not actually
the same.
True.
You pay, right, the same.
We pay the same taxes. But there's this idea of, you know, I feel like in the US, like, you know, you don't trust the government to, I don't know, whatever. But I feel like in the UK, it's like, okay, the government provides a safety net for people who are more disadvantaged than me. I don't need to donate as much charity. And I feel like in the US, it's more like, well, you know, the government isn't going to take care of people,
I feel like Betty Bowers could explain this pretty well.
Yeah, that's true.
Twitter account. She'd be like, here's $10, dear. I'm going to save $1,000 on my taxes. Now fuck off. I gave you something.
No, I mean, I definitely don't think it's the correct attitude. And I've seen many people who say, oh, I gave, you know, $10 to this one young person I found on the street. Therefore, we don't need the government to provide healthcare or whatever. But that's a whole other conversation that we can probably get into.
We'll just do a whole thing on socialism.
Yeah.
We'll drink a we'll drink a Pimm's cup.
Vodka? Pimm's cup, yeah. No, so anyway, like, I feel like the UK has some way to go in terms of charity, and I feel like Red Nose Day is pretty good about that.
But then again, Red Nose Day, for the downside for the UK, is like, this is our one time a year we do charity.
But then there's a bunch of these things. Sorry, I maybe been misleading in that Red Nose Day is the only one. There's one called Children in Need, which has this creepy bear, yellow bear thing.
That's like children who take care of like sick people.
Yeah. So it's like,
oh,
you know,
my
like,
gosh, that one's so, that is the most sad thing you possibly imagine. A child who has to take care of a dying parent.
Yeah.
That is the telethon.
Yeah, I know. It's sad, and I'm really glad it exists. But it's mostly, that's another one for children's charities, and it's a lot of like children whose parents are sick, and you know they are the caregiver for their parent, and it's very good. It exists, but it's pretty heartbreaking. But they have this creepy bear as like a called Pudsey,
and he's got like a broken leg and a broken
eye. He's got like a weird pirate patch, but it's not a patch. It's like a,
I thought he was like injured.
Like a, yeah, he's got like a, it's like a sling over his eye. It's kind of, it's weird. It's weird. Google Pudsey, and I think it will come.
I don't know if you should Google Pudsey at work.
Well, no, oh, no. There's some horrific things he does. You don't want to, yeah.
That's a whole English subgenre of adult entertainment is Pudsey based.
Definitely. You don't want to go into Soho in London.
Yeah. So find a private location, maybe when you're taking a dump.
Go in
at
an
work.
Incognito window. Yeah. And, no, and then we have the
God bless you,
Blue Peter window. Charity event that happens every summer.
Is there a magic roundabout?
There is no magic roundabout charity event. No. I don't know if that was you were trying to be funny or
making. I was trying to build bridges with the British people.
No. I feel like there's a lot of, funnily enough, I was going to say capitalist, but like, you know, because it's mostly the BBC and but like these events put on by corporations to don't make people donate to charity.
Like the NBC Red Nose Day, which I'd like to welcome our new sponsor, NBC.
NBC.
What a great job.
I love NBC's range of programming. Oh, did you see NBC has cut all comedy pretty much for next season?
No.
So they announced there's like two shows on Friday nights that are comedy shows.
That's cool.
I know, right?
Except for ours. They're prepping us for...
Sorry, yeah. Apart from our new show on NBC, it's called... Michael and Hampton.
Look, no, Michael, this formula we have here is pretty much the same as Hoda and Kathy morning. Like,
but I don't want to get out that
early. Yeah, but we're in the evening, and
so maybe
we don't vomit
do, like,
afterwards.
What night do people stay in, and can we just, like, sit and do, like, some kind of thing?
Tonight.
Where we want.
It's right now.
It's right now? Well, this isn't live, so I don't think it's
I don't know what it is. Look,
it's not actually happening.
Wherever the sad people are who are listening to this
I'm going to give you a hug. I think people listen to this on their commutes, which is kind of sad because we're a little bit sloshed. And these people, well, either if you're on the way home from your job, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Because then you're getting towards sweet, sweet liquor. or if you're on your way to work, I'm really sorry that you have to go to work right now.
No, but anyway, they're going to work. The saddest part is this will be the most intelligent conversation they'll have all day.
Oh, snap. Or this is like Kathy and Hoda. It's only it's only like middle-aged housewives who are like at 10 a.m. being like, "Hey, let's have a glass of wine. I'm gonna watch some ladies or gentlemen."
No, people love functional alcoholism in the mornings.
Yeah, I know.
That's like
yeah, that's true.
Wait, all those morning zoos? We all know what the fuck was going on there.
I have no clue what you mean by a morning zoo.
So a morning zoo is a stupid American. Actually, we should add this to a word set. This just reminds me of words I need to add.
Yeah.
It's like three or four people on a morning radio show for the commute kind of time. And they're typically like, usually it's two women, two men. And they're called a morning zoo. So it's like, "Welcome to your morning zoo crew. I'm the champ. And I'm here with the awesome WKN."
Wait, like that thing on Parks and Rec with Nick Kroll?
Yeah, sure, but it's I think in order to technically be considered a zoo, you need more than just two guys. A zoo crew requires...
Do you make fart noises?
Oh, certainly. I remember one morning, this was at WAPE in Jacksonville, Florida.
WAPE?
Yeah, it was the ape. Because it's spelled without the W. They got very creative with it. So WAPE, they went to a haunted house at 7 a.m. in the morning, which wasn't really clearly explained.
Okay.
I remember I was like a kid going to school, and they had this whole like, da-da-da-da, and it's like, "Sarah's in the haunted house." She's like, "Hey guys, oh my gosh, we're at this haunted house, it's terrible right now.
I'm pretty scared."
And it was listening like, to you. She's like, "Oh, we just saw something fall off the shelf." And I'm like, it's 7 in the morning.
I don't get this.
Why did your, like, whoever produced this segment and is like, "You know what we need at 7 in the morning? Horror."
This is
very, I love horror. I love the idea of
supernatural for the Deep South.
So I love the idea of bringing in kind of not matching mythologies into places they don't exist. But 7 a.m., on your commute into work, I feel weird. Like the mythology of haunted homes is a weird...
We had basically, like, Chris Moyles, who is this very laddish guy on Radio 1. Any British people who love Chris Moyles... he's terrible. No, I mean, he's pretty terrible. But, so you have, like, the person on the way there and the person on the way home... Do you have, morning, have a like lot an of afternoon zoo?
Home was lesser crew. There's normally one person who was manning that desk.
Okay.
The morning's more of a show, like a whole production. They would do like bits and like Howard Stern ish. Like more of a.
I don't know what that means.
Yeah, but a whole group of people. I mean, I understand why they did it.
So the UK, you had like one on the way there and one on the way back. So on the way back was Scott Mills, who is Radio 1, which is the biggest. BBC radio.
Well, it's numbered number one.
Right, so I mean, I don't think it's got the highest listenership. So there's this whole, like, hierarchy of British radio.
How snobby it is.
Well, okay, so Radio 1 is, like...
BBC Radio 1.
BBC Radio 1 is... at night.
Oh, really?
Very laddish during the day.
Hmm.
They will play, like, the latest Pharrell Williams and Mark Ronson track. Mm-hmm. They'll play whatever that funk song is. You know, what is it called? Funktown? I don't know. Anyway, they'll play that all day, and the latest, you know, whatever, Lady Gaga song. And then there's Radio 2.
Is this you thinking of the hottest artist today?
Yeah, I know, I was trying to think
of that. It's pretty good,
That was pretty terrible. And then Radio 2 is where they do the, I'm doing the air quotes, the bunny ears, oldies, which okay. I was always a Radio 2 listener, because they do, like, 70s soul, and, like, 80s new wave, and the Smiths, and blah, 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 which is awesome. Radio 3 is classical, and Radio 4 is all talk. So Radio 4 is our equivalent of the NPR, or whatever. So they do, like...
Wait, you don't mean all talk, like, in a euphemism. They're just all talk, man.
I don't know what that means.
It means bragging, or, like, they brag a lot and they can't deliver.
Oh, no, it's just dull. Just dull. Wait, no. I love it, and I listen to that. I wake up to that. Or I woke up to that. So they would do the shipping.
A public radio fan sitting right across from you.
No, so they would do a wait, don't tell me kind of thing. And they would have like women's hour at 1 p.m. And, you know, women would talk about like the issues that face them and like all that kind of stuff. And it was pretty amazing. And they would do the shipping forecast, which I feel like is a very British thing.
That's a whole
episode. That not many people know about. And we could talk about that. a lot.
And we could talk about that and alienate every single person.
Wait, I mean, it's coming up to the end of the show, and I feel like I just want to talk about it a little bit.
Okay, imitate the shipping news for us.
So they play a song, and then it's like...
Okay, wait.
Wait, I need to Google something first.
Okay.
Okay.
This is the end of a song. It's at some point on Radio 4.
Okay. So it's like, basically they have these weird names for all these areas, and they do this for the, Anyway, no, this isn't good.
Do you want me to do your intro again?
It's basically like...
I'll do it again. This is the song on Radio 4.
Now for the shipping forecast. Viking, stormy seas, and 32 knots from the northeast. North Oster, 22 knots. Dogger is calm. German Bight, calm. Humber, strong waves. Going till 3 a.m. Rockall, calm. Fitzroy, calm till 2 a.m. Sol, Lundy, and Fastnet, calm. And so, sorry, those are...
Nine. Alpha. Alpha. Nine. Nine.
That's not the thing. That's not what they do.
Alpha, beta. Anyway,
so
gamma,
those were all
12. Charlie.
Those were all legitimate.
That was
names.
A number station. I was just doing in case people. You should look up number
Russian,
station.
The Russian thing.
Yeah, I don't think people know it.
Well, so they name all the regions, and those are all named regions around the UK. Mm-hmm. And basically, there's this like, if you are on a ship and you need to know how the weather's going to be for the next like 4 hours, you tune into Radio 4, and they just play this. Every
and they have weird names for all the areas.
Yeah, it's like Dogger, Malin, Rockall.
And you're sure White. This isn't a number station?
No. But anyway, it's so calming, and there's this whole culture around it. Listening to this, and I used to listen to it before I went to sleep. It's on at 1 a.m. every night in the UK, and you just listen to it. And it's so
soothing.
Was
this the start of your autism, or just an extension of it?
An extension. Okay, yeah. Right. Well, so it's when I lined up all my paper clips, and then I would get in bed, and then I would listen to this.
All right. On that note, we love you all. Have a good day or a good night, and the offer still stands. I will buy you a drink if you remember the keyword. Good night.